Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as MobiusStripPress.com. Both of these sites should have more than what you're looking for as far as content regarding what we need to do to reclaim the Republic, and more specifically, something that I call what Madison and Jefferson did, which was Republic Review, or calling for Republic Review. And so, again, those are the two sites that you can start obtaining further light and knowledge from, and I would call, or I would ask you if you would like to discuss these things, by all means call 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. The reasons why you want to download the podcast that I have on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and that is because this is, let me re-emphasize this, this is the only show on air anywhere that asserts a constitutional solution to federal government overreach. The content on this show will also refer to content of previous shows, as well as future shows will be referencing today's show and or past shows. Therefore, to kind of stay abreast with all of this information, because this is not a show that's here to talk about the daily news that will be forgotten tomorrow and that is, you know, irrelevant in a year. We are talking about things that dovetail and that are critical for you to understand and empowering you in taking back our Constitution. So the final reason why, again, as I've kind of lent to, is this show does not talk about the ephemeral, temporary, or perishable news and content. I'm here to educate and discuss with you what we need to do to become a part of the solution and no longer continue to be a part of the problem. So don't forget that you can download the podcast at reclaimingtherepublic.org. And jumping on by April 21st, I've drawn a line in the sand. By April 21st, I committing to myself that I will have set up a crowdfunding page and crowdfunding information so that you will be able to forward out, engage, and what have you. I ask that you, if you're looking one for blessings, if you're looking for an opportunity to feel like you've actually contributed, because this is historic, I would then offer you to, you know, check this out and spread the word, because we need help. This is something that Washington couldn't fight the revolution on his own, and fortunately, people recognize that, okay, they may not get a tax deduction from contributing to fighting the revolution, but what they did get was their liberties guaranteed for them and their posterity. And I think we need to kind of look at this in the same manner. I also want to throw it out there because I'm not trying to bait. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to bait a argument. What I'm trying to do is have a good discussion, because I think in working with a person's paradigm on religious freedom and what that means, I want to put it into context as to how the framers viewed religious freedom, specifically regarding the Constitution. And does the Constitution protect religious freedom? Any sign out there, you tell me, call me up if you see any sign that the federal government is disbanding and dismantling any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Because I want to know about it, because that's news. And who knows, maybe they'll just stop doing all these unconstitutional things and literally recoil back into the framework of the Constitution. And I can actually, you know, I don't want to say I retire, because I'm not making money at doing this. The whole point is that we all kind of have to contribute, and so that's what I'm doing. But I'd like to go off and have a different career since I've already retired from two, and maybe have a third or fourth retirement. That sounds like a good idea. Anyway, if you can help facilitate me, then that would be great. Anyway, as a reminder, and I've said this a few times, but we're starting to see these things crop up again. And it's very important because these are egregious violations of the Constitution. It's one thing when somebody comes along and says, hey, I am, you know, passing a law that says you can't have fur coats, and that would be an ex post facto law. And again, the Constitution states in Article 1, Section 9, that no bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. And so they're passing laws. So we cannot let lawmakers ignore this restriction. When you see your lawmakers actually dealing with or even having this conversation, you need to be prodding them. Get into the press, become a part of the press, and prod these guys, prod these gals, these idiots that don't know anything about the Constitution, who are out there, you know, violating the Constitution and basically giving us tyrannical laws. Ask them, you know, do you understand the Constitution, what an ex post facto law is? Because they cannot ignore this restriction. Illinois is doing this now. I think Oregon has been trying to do this. There's many states out there that are doing this, and they're ramping this up even greater because they've been getting away with it. And just because they're getting away with a violation of the Constitution doesn't make it any more legal, or just because they've been doing it for years doesn't make it any more constitutional. Show me in the Constitution where there's a statute of limitations that if you don't catch them in their shenanigans within a certain time limit, it becomes constitutional. That's not there. As a matter of fact, the framers were pretty clear. They did not like and did not want unconstitutional violations. So they tried to create a very inhibitive system. However, we've had very dubious leaders, politicians, lawyers, and so forth who have convinced us and hoodwinked us because we never had access for a long time. For hundreds of years, folks, we did not have access to our source documents, where any person could literally go online and read the source documents for themselves. That was just unavailable. Those documents were unattainium, so to speak. And I forget what Core, I think, was the movie. But anyway, I digress. The point is that we have to stop these lawmakers from violating our Constitution. And now that we have access to all these source documents, we need to start plugging forward and moving forward. And so in doing that, let me also go on to this global climate change stuff. I don't know if you heard, but there's like this lava bubble off of the coast of Hawaii, I think. And I've mentioned this before. We don't really have a man-made climate change. Our Earth has been venting and bubbling and fermenting for a long time, and it has recently been releasing a lot of heat and gases at the bottom of the ocean. What happens when you turn up the heat on water? Well, it brings up your water temperature. What happens when that happens? Well, it kind of brings up your overall temperature. It kind of starts changing ocean currents. It changes weather patterns. It maybe changes and displaces glaciers, moves them from, you know, one position to a different position where some melt and some are growing. That's what we're witnessing. What we're witnessing are events that are occurring outside of man-made conditions. And I am just surprised that nobody wants to look at that. That what they want to do is they want to continue to measure man's output and productivity of whatever, pollutants, carbon. It is immeasurable compared to what the Earth is doing. It's funny how people think that what, you know, we do as a society for hundreds of years can even match the belching of all these volcanoes with ash, heat, and everything else. Those are humongous exertions of carbon and pollutants and particulates into the air in just one quick fraction of a moment. Anyway, we're up at a hard break. And when we come back, I'm actually going to try to get into a couple more things. And then we're going to go through the model of Republic Review. So let's have a few words from our sponsors. And I'll be right back after this. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so let's put behind us this talk of tomfoolery of climate change, that it happens to be man-made. And let's actually go into one issue of constitutionality. Kate Brown, good old Katie. Sometimes there are consequences to what we do, Governor Brown. However, she's making an assertion that she's not going to send the National Guard down to the border to protect the states. However, what Trump should do and what Trump should be doing, because bottom line, and let's go to the Constitution on this before I actually get into this, because if you can show me somewhere in the amendment process where the federal government had the states amend the Constitution in establishing National Guards, then okay, I will let it go and I will just continue. However, the mere fact that the states possess National Guards is unconstitutional. They never went through and amended the Constitution, because I will clearly state Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 16 is to provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States. So what Trump should be calling for is the militia to be sent to the border, and requesting that the militia assist in defending our southern border, because clearly that is the only mechanism that is within the Constitution. So for a long time, folks, our federal government has been trying to use statutes and regulations to change what is in the Constitution to meet the things that they would like to do in moving us towards this global world and this, you know, all-powerful federal government. Well, we have to stop that. The framers set the precedents right out the gate that they wanted to make some changes, and they followed the Article 5 process not just once, but a few times, because they inserted the Bill of Rights, which were 12 proposed amendments. Then they amended the Constitution again with one of those, and then they actually amended the Constitution in 1801, I think was when they proposed the amendment, with the 12th Amendment in changing the Electoral College. So here's an example where there was something within the Constitution that they said, well, we need to make some minute changes because that's just not working for us. And so what we have to do, because this is what we all agreed upon that this contract would do, and I'm emphasizing this, folks, because if they did this because that's how the contract dictated it to be handled, then that's the only way they can do that continuing. But when they thought that they could get away with creating statutes and regulations and changing how we do the Electoral College or how we support the militia, that is all unconstitutional. Show me in an amendment where the federal government got the states to say, okay, if you can create statutes and regulations, then we'll abide by those. They didn't. If you could show me that they created an amendment that says that the Supreme Court in a ruling can make something constitutional like Roe v. Wade or what have you, then okay, those things are constitutional. But if the Supreme Court is saying we believe that the privacy exists, well, then the onus comes to Congress and the states to either make that constitutional, or they have to rebuke the Supreme Court and say, you know what, that's outside of your jurisdiction. Show us here in the Constitution where you have jurisdiction over health or over, you know, healthcare, education, any of these issues. And they don't, because clearly, like I said, in Article 3, Section 2, the Supreme Court is limited to the jurisdiction of those things within the Constitution and ratified treaties, and that's it. And so I don't think we have a treaty regarding education, healthcare, abortions, marriage, or anything like that. And for the federal government to be going into those types of domestic issues is well outside the scope of the Constitution. So what do we do about that? Well, I will just say this before I move off of Kate Brown on this bullet here that I wanted to cover. So Kate Brown doesn't want to send the National Guard. However, I believe that if this really bubbles up, I believe that the states, and as a matter of fact, if Republic Review starts taking off because you start getting behind this and start spreading the word and educating people, then what will happen is actually the National Guards will go away and the states will be forced, either that or they'll have to amend the Constitution to allow that to happen. But I would highly recommend that the states allow the militias to get organized, because the flip side of this is that the federal government should not be manning and arming, I should say, you know, paying for staffing and arming local law enforcement. What they should be doing, just per the Constitution, is they should be equipping the militia in providing extra security for internal and external defenses of the states. That's what they're supposed to do. Let's abide by the Constitution instead of figuring out what way we can do a mechanism and create insidious organizations within the structure of the states to be able to better herd our sheep, or in some metaphors, people like using herding cats. But anyway, fact being is that if we get them to actually start abiding by the Constitution, Governor Brown, then you will actually have to man a militia, and each county will then need to form, and you have two types of militias that are referred to within the U.S. Code, organized and unorganized. As a matter of fact, every man, I believe, of a certain age is required to be a part of the unorganized militia to be able to support in times of that type of distress or disaster or need. But the organized militia is supposed to be those who are called at the, you know, the first wave of defense, the first wave of necessity, like going to the southern border right now. And so I would love to see Governor Brown all of a sudden have to start supporting actually a state militia, because I don't think she's an advocate for that. So just be careful of the consequences as you start, you know, bringing things up, because there are constitutional ramifications and you might actually get a an outcome that you're really not looking for. So that being said, let me wrap up. As I did kind of yesterday as a prelude, we went through the bullets yesterday, and I kind of gave you the academic argument as to why Republic Review is necessary. Thus, again, a reason why you may want to download the podcast if you didn't hear yesterday's broadcast. And so what I am telling you now is that if you base the knowledge, if you come to an agreement, you acquiesce on the fact that we have to audit the Constitution against the federal government, then now we have to look at what is that mechanism of that auditing process. And as to what I refer to as what Jefferson and Madison did when they were responding to those four acts that we just kind of bundle up as the Sedition Acts. As I pointed out, these men held an affinity for our liberties and our Constitution. And as I point out, we need to have that same affinity today, and that we need to act. And so when we come back from this hard break that's coming up, I'm going to get into the mechanics of Republic Review. This is priceless stuff. I mean, most people have to buy my books so that you can get into this. And I'll be honest with you. I want you to be armed with knowledge, as I've been telling you. And I believe knowledge is power, and that you can be the fountain of power of political change towards abiding by our Constitution once again. So when we come back from a little break with listening to our sponsors, then we'll get into this. So thank you so much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcasts. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And I know going into the break, I said I was going to get right into these next set of bullets, and I'm looking at some information that I think is really important. As a matter of fact, I'm actually going to be speaking to a group, a county, towards the end of this month, regarding Article 4, Section 4, which is the guarantee clause, also known as the Republican form of government requirement on states. So the reason I want to kind of take this little walk around the woodshed, so to speak, is that California actually has a movement, and I believe that there's been 30-some counties that have agreed in creating a 51st state. The state of Washington is also doing the same thing. If you're listening and you know somebody in Illinois, if you are listening and you know somebody in Michigan, if you know somebody living in Nevada, Oregon, any state that's a blue state that has a population center that is dominating the state, Louisiana would be another one. Maybe North Carolina might be another one. We need to start looking at these blue states where population centers are actually starting to dictate the progressive policies and oppressing these other states by taking away their representation for their senators and taking away their representation because their state legislatures and voices are no longer a part of the process. Then I'm telling you that their best path of taking control of their state is applying for a new state and setting forth a plan in applying to Congress to establish a Western North Carolina and a Northern Nevada and a Western or Eastern Washington and an Eastern Oregon and a new California, whatever you want to call these things, a new Washington. I don't care what you call them. As a matter of fact, you know, there's people that get involved that, you know, want to use branding and that type of stuff. I really don't care. But what's important is that we need to start sending the message to Congress because they have failed in defining that Republican form of government. And we have lost sight of Republicanism within our states because counties have been washed away as an insignificant seat of government when it shouldn't be. It is a part of the republic within the state. Some people will say, argue whether they're republics or not, but that's absolutely, they are republics. States are divided into sub-elements of government and have established seats of government within those sub-elements called counties and or parishes. And so those seats of government are actually supposed to have a representation within that Senate so that they can make sure that their needs are being addressed, you know, in equal form to all other counties. Just because one county has a greater population than another does not necessarily mean it deserves better representation than another county. That is where if you look at the Constitution, the people do deserve better representation within the House, but not the Senate. And that's why we have bicameral legislative bodies, to ensure that the balance is maintained in one and the representation of the people is maintained in another. The Senates are supposed to be balanced. The Senates are not supposed to be based upon representation of the people. They're representatives of the constituent of that sub-element of government. Just like the Senate in Congress. The Senate and Congress are supposed to be representing the states. And I've said this several times. So if you know people, please, if they happen to be in a blue state, Wisconsin, if they happen to be in Illinois, Indiana, any of these types of states that are turning blue or quasi-blue, New Mexico would be another one. Start calling your friends and saying, hey, did you know you need to get involved? Start talking to and start listening to this show. This dude, G.R. Mobley, has some, you know, really crazy constitutional ideas that, you know, he claims are aligned with the framers in the Constitution, and I can't prove them wrong. So why don't you listen to him and you tell me I'm wrong or right? There you go. Then you can put the onus on them to basically challenge me, because I welcome the open dialogue. Just like on religious freedom, I welcome this this discussion, because there is a, you know, you'll have a hard time trying to tell me why every state has a bicameral legislative body and why Nebraska, the only state that failed to do that, why they did what they did in ignoring their government seats and ignoring Article 4, Section 4, and what the original colonies really realigned themselves in making bicameral legislative bodies to ensure representation of both constituents. And so let me move on, because I do want to get into these bullets regarding the mechanism of Republic Review. As I said yesterday, we only have a few courses in alternative actions. And so one of those courses is what? The court system. And another course is the election process. Both of those, court and election process, are the status quo. If we continue to count on the courts and the election process, whether that be at the state or whether that be at the federal level, we're just basically allowing things to continue slide and ebb and to and flow, or to and fro, and so we're just asking for trouble. The Article 5 path is putting the cart in front of the horse, as Tom LaPorte in California tells me, and he's right. And so the only option that we really have is what I will tell you is Republic Review and auditing the Constitution. And so as I went through the bullets yesterday, I want to go through the bullets of reclaiming the Republic and this process chart or model that I have that thankfully the founder of Focus basically said, hey, you know, I want to understand what you're telling me. Can you put it in a flow chart? And I go, absolutely, I can. I can't believe I never did it. So I sat down about a month ago, or maybe a little more than that, and started to quantify in a flow chart the model for Republic Review. And so I will be making these available soon, probably next week. And I want you to be able to look at these and kind of digest this process as well as the ramifications of what this will do in letting us recapture our liberties at the state and unleashing our states once again to becoming booming economic opportunities. I think there's, you know, we'll get into that. I just let me go into this Republic Review process model. And the first bullet is that state legislatures, see, the real problem that I'm facing with everybody is that we're all the we are all the consequences, or we are all the byproduct of our education system. So the first bullet is the state legislatures in several states are now beginning to learn, as I reach out to them, the framers' principles of republicanism and the separation of powers between the states and the general government. They are also learning from Mobius Strip Press, that's me, and my entity, and other affiliated organizations, like I mentioned, Tom LaPorte, Focus, the Constitution Association, and hopefully soon some other big names like Eagle Forum, John Birch Society, and so forth. Trevor Lawton is another one, and Tom DeWeese is another one. And I owe Tom, if you're listening, I owe you a big apology. I told you I'd get back to you, but I've been bobbing trying to get all these other things done, and so forgive me, I will be getting back to you soon. Anyway, so all of these legislatures are learning from Mobius Strip Press and other affiliated organizations of Madison and Jefferson's 1798 attempt to conduct Republic Review, which is what I am asserting that they tried to do, which will then help them, these state legislatures, realize and actualize their role, authority, and power of oversight over the Constitution. As they do, these legislatures will then begin working on draft resolutions to call for an audit of the Constitution against the general government. And that music means that I've ran out of time in this segment. I'm going into another hard break, and so we'll be back for the last segment and getting into more meat of these bullets. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is GR Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so I was just leaving off with the fact that these state legislatures in bullet number 2 are beginning to learn, actually, that they have more than enough powers. They have all the powers necessary to change their disposition regarding their subordinates to, in all things, to the federal government, to moving it into a constitutional framework to where states only have to be subordinate to the federal government in the powers delegated. As they do these legislatures will then begin working on draft resolutions to call for an audit of the Constitution against the general government. This will also create resolutions calling upon sibling states to join them in the audit to conduct Republic Review. These resolutions will be inclusive of all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers some resolutions may be drafted, and I just want to create a clarification here, that all these, this inclusive, unconstitutional RRPs, or roles, responsibilities, and powers, and when I say RRPs, that's what that means, roles, responsibilities, and powers. So a little clarification on this inclusive, big, huge ball of unconstitutional RRPs. Some resolutions may be drafted upon key violations of the Constitution that are specifically and adversely hurting the states, but these must be tied to comprehensive resolutions to ensure that a state does not move forward without focusing on all the violations, not just the key ones. A key one that I think every state is being affected by is education. I mean, look at these curmudgeon, you know, children and juveniles that are hitting the streets believing that they have a democracy and that they can just vote these changes and vote away their liberties. I mean, the framers at least were smart enough to keep them, these immature minds, from being able to do this tomfoolery and this foolishness in throwing away liberties. These resolutions must be inclusive. I just covered that in the sub-bullet. So the next sub-bullet would be proponents for auditing the Constitution and calling for republic review in each of these legislative bodies must build a coalition within their state's bicameral legislative bodies to obtain a majority to pass legislation to conduct the audit and call for republic review. They must also build coalitions with the with other states' legislators in sibling states. So in other words, well, they're going to be working simultaneously trying to create a majority in their bicameral legislative bodies, as well as working with other states and educating them and getting them to come on board. So there's going to be all this chatter going across the republic until the first state finally gets there. This is what I believe is going to happen when this goes down, is I believe that you're going to have Wyoming, you're going to have Idaho, you're going to have Utah, the Dakotas and Kansas, and maybe other states like Oklahoma and maybe Texas. Because there's quite a few very conservative states that are going to go, wow, let's be the first. Let's get in there. Just like Delaware wanted to be the first to slam dunk the ratification of the Constitution without even truly reading it. I mean, I mean, they convened their convention and voted, and they didn't even read the thing. I should say they may have read it, but they didn't discuss it. They didn't even go through it. It was just a rubber stamp, and shame on Delaware for doing that. But anyway, I believe what will happen as I'm talking here, that these state coalitions with these sibling states and so forth will start literally, you know, I don't want to say competing, but they'll start feeling the urgency and actually the nobility of being a state to quickly join and or recognizing that. Because what's going to happen, folks, down the road, 50, 100, 200 years from now, when the people look back at the point in time where we actually saved our Constitution and our liberties and actually became the world model that we should be in, as we move forward, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to get rid of the UN. We're going to get rid of this global governance strategy. It may take a lot. It may take the second coming, but that subjugation of mankind and global communism is going to go away. There's no way it will survive. I have this firm testimony that it will not survive, that eventually we will move forward, and hundreds of years from now, people will be looking back, and I believe that these good state legislatures in these conservative states will recognize their opportunity in becoming a true leader of restoring our constitutional republic to the course that it was put on by our framers. Anyway, let me move on. If necessary, these legislatures need to work with county parties. In other words, the Constitution Party, the GOP, or Libertarian parties. And they also need to work with grassroots organizations and set up what I call constitutional committees of correspondence. I need to create a little bullet or a set of bullets on what that is. And they also need to create a focus pack, like what we're doing with Idaho and scaling that to every state. And in each state, apply pressures on their legislative districts to get their fellow legislatures. So what's happening is these legislatures are starting to work with these other county chairs of the Constitution Party and these other parties and working with grassroots and other people to say, hey, look, you guys need to get your state legislature, who's supposedly a Republican, on board with this, or you need to replace them. And, you know, it's no longer time to be Mr. Nice Guy when it comes to saving the Constitution. Either you're going to step up and do your job, or you're going to get replaced. And these counties need to start sending shots across the bow to some of these folks to let them know, hey, we take your oath seriously, and we take that position that we're filling because you're our employee, you're our public servant, we take it serious. And we want you to do our bidding, and that is to save us from federal tyranny and save our liberties so that we can begin doing the things that we should be doing for ourselves instead of having the government or the federal government mandate those things. And so, like I said, the state legislatures will actually start reaching down into other states and counties. And, you know, some people go, well, that's not their job, but actually it is. If you look at their oath is to support the Constitution. They need to do whatever's necessary to get their fellow legislatures either on board or help those other districts in getting people on board with doing that. And so that's what needs to start happening. That's why I say after this election, if you're a PCO, if you're a district leader, if you are engaged and a part of a party, whether that be the Constitution, the GOP, or Libertarian Party, this November, after the election, you need to have a county full central committee meeting and vet every single candidate that was just put in place and basically say, hey, do we truly believe that this person is representing our needs in saving us and saving our Constitution? If they are not, then you need to find people within that district, within those boundaries of the positions that they're holding, because this has got to go to the county commissioners. This has to go to your city council, every single elected body, and they need to look over all of these positions and say, you know what, these are the people we need to really replace, because you know, we can't wait till the next election cycle and then be forced into voting for our guy because we don't have anybody else, because we can't vote for a Democrat. But these guys are just as bad, are these guys and gals, these people. And so it's important that we start moving down that path in developing and nurturing replacements that are constitutionally attuned and understand the urgency, so that by 2020, all of these folks, these legislative districts, get filled with good constitutional candidates as well as county commissioners and so forth. Because it shouldn't take, you know, more than an election cycle to start fixing these problems if you address it at the beginning of the election cycle, which is right after this next election. That's when we need to start starting the development of new candidates to replacing these. And I hope this makes complete sense, folks, because we can no longer just sit on the laurels and wait until let's find out who's going in. We have to start being proactive. Shoot, if you can't find somebody, then you step up. I mean, seriously, if you look in the history of our republic, that's what's happened. Captains of industries or what have you, leaders who've recognized the need have stepped in. And I'm talking to people in Oklahoma and other states that are stepping in, and they're stepping away from a very good paying job so that they can become a public servant because nobody else is doing it. So I'm going to basically stop at this juncture. And the reason being is I can go into bullet four, but there's a little bit of meat to this. And so what I'll do is I'll re-review bullet three about working and getting organized tomorrow. And we will move forward with the rest of these bullets. Hopefully we'll get them all done tomorrow. So you will have in your hands and in podcasts available to you all of these good facts that you need to know and what we have to do in reclaiming the Republic. Because as we move forward, I say knowledge is power. I am empowering you to become that fountain of power in guiding your representatives. And as we do that, we will reclaim the Republic. I am G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic. And I will be back tomorrow, same time. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.